back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Austin here from ericismybanker.com.
Yeah, you're getting really smooth with that.
Getting it down.
Yeah.
Getting it down.
Yeah. Get down with ericismybanker.com.
Lots going on in banking right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So.
But we'll talk about that another
That'll
time.
That'll be some other time.
Yes. Because right now, I want to get right back into what Randy was discussing at the end of our last segment.
Right. So Randy Braniker and with Braniker. Sorry, thinking of that John Wayne movie. Brannigan. No, that was Brannigan. Anyway, so Randy Braniker and Associates. Say that three times really fast. But we're talking land use and how that impacts, you know, us locally. People hear that word land use, it's like, oh, my eyes are glazing over. And what does that really have to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
It can have tons to do with
absolutely.
With you. So we were talking about ADUs, accessory dwelling units. So some want them, some don't want them. You know, the government wants us to increase density, but the local municipalities. What's going on with that?
I mean, and is it coming also from Growth Management Act, or is it really some other external force?
I think it's a combination of things. So the external forces, as you alluded to earlier, is just this terrific job growth we've got going on in the region.
Yeah.
And you know, jobs have to go somewhere at night, and that's a house. And
you mean employees?
Right.
Okay. I was like, the jobs are leaving?
I mean, you create a new job, and that job is filled, and that job just doesn't disappear. It has to to go home,
yes.
That individual. And so ideally, we want that person to have the opportunity to live as close to where they work as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of life, you know, not a crazy commute.
Right.
And
even our schools are impacted by that, because we heard that at that East King County Coalition for Chambers recently.
That's right. That's right. It you know, schools obviously have to respond to that growth. They have to dial up and dial down their physical plan and their program.
Right, but we even heard like how teachers in Redmond, they keep churning because what teachers get paid and the cost it would be for them to live in Redmond, they can't do it. And so now they're driving an hour one way every day. And so they churn through teaching staff because no one can, I mean, given the hours and stress that teachers have in their jobs, I mean, I'd probably go mental too and decide, I need to go somewhere else.
You know, I think in central, I think in the core, you know, of Seattle, Bellevue, Renton, Kirkland, Issaquah, that median income earner has a real challenge finding housing.
Yeah.
And that is going to continue until we get really serious about ensuring that there is zoning that would allow the market to build the housing to meet that demand.
Right.
And I just want to throw out a number at you. The Puget Sound Regional Council is the entity in central Puget Sound that does the forecasting for population and jobs, and it also has a transportation and growth planning responsibility. So their number is our region will grow by an additional 1.8 million people by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
So that's about 850,000 households.
Yes.
Wait. So 1.8 million, and we're at, for this region right now, what, around 3?
I think
no,
so.
No, it's higher.
Maybe it's a little bit higher.
3.7.
Or 3.5 or so.
Yeah.
Wow. So almost doubling.
Yeah.
It's
you know, we
number.
Should actually get them back on because we had Josh Brown, who was the executive director, on back in October of 2017.
Right.
Yeah.
So that number, you know, that organization is pretty conservative. So that number could even be modest.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And so you start doing the math that you've got 31 years to deliver these units.
Right.
Right. And we're going slow. I mean, the back of the napkin math I did just for King County's share would be about 450,000 units over those 31 years.
And we can only build right now maybe 2,000 units a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
And we need
a single family,
That's making us sound like a San Francisco or a San Jose.
So that's the risk,
correct.
Right? That either you have to be wealthy to afford to live here, mm-hmm. or you have to be poor enough to qualify for
subsidized housing,
which, by the way, only serves a fraction of the need.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and where has that ever really worked? I mean, if we talk rent control, for instance.
Well, there, you know, anywhere. I think we've got, to be fair, we have organizations throughout the region that provide subsidized housing. And, you know, it's public dollars, Seattle housing levy dollars, things like that.
Oh, that serves an absolute need. But that's a safety net.
Yes.
And as prices go up, it's impossible to maintain that. You know,
right. Well, as prices go up, more and more people need the net because
mm-hmm. right.
the market right. isn't able to respond to the net. And the market is constrained because it doesn't have the underlying zoning to meet the demand. So that's where we get into things like strategies like ADUs, mm-hmm. which give us an opportunity to get more bang for the buck out of each square foot
mm-hmm. right.
of land. And that's in a residential setting. We can also look at, you know, more multifamily products that are zero lot lines mm-hmm. and townhouse type developments, mm-hmm. mid-rise condominium, things like that that can very gently boost the density and the available units without turning the look and feel of the community on its ear.
Right. You know, I think that's going to be a challenge that I'd love to see more builders really truly take on, because as the person who sits, you know, at least within this studio, of the daily conversations of, well, what do I want in a home? Well, when I start talking about these, you know, denser type housing styles, majority of people don't want shared walls. They want their privacy still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are people who are purchasing townhomes because that's all they can afford, or a condo because that's all they can afford. But at the end of the day, almost every single one of them still tells me they want to have their own space. And they don't want to have that feeling. But we're just going to be getting more and more challenges. This area just really hasn't had a history of good multifamily housing options.
Right.
And I think because of that, everyone just seems to be really against them. And a lot of the people who are moving here right now are coming from really packed areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're coming from out of country and they're used to having tight spaces, you know? So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I actually am on Puget Sound Regional Council's website right now and looking at the changes in commutes, mm-hmm. right? And that also goes back to the impact of transit and everything else, because it says the share of commuters' travel time greater than 1 hour. And it's saying that, you know, the percentage of that the share of commutes longer than 60 minutes is growing. Mm-hmm. And then they give a rundown of the travel time less than 10 minutes and how much that's shrinking. And then they've got a scatter chart on here that shows, you know, the percentages of all these. Oh my gosh, there's even some that are longer than 90 minutes. I mean, that used to be one of my things when I had people moving here from Southern California and even in Northern California around Silicon Valley. I have a conversation, I'm like, well, how far away do you want to be from your job? And they're like, if you can get me under 2 hours,
wow,
I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, but then again, the average Amazon employee that I work with wants to be within 20 minutes, mm-hmm. but that space is shrinking, which is also why you see, you know, Craftsman cottages in Wallingford selling for $1.2 million now.
Right.
It's like Palo Alto.
So Randy, so ADUs are one area where we can increase our density. The other area would be condominiums. And
news.
About a year ago now, I guess, I was in a big panel. It was a mortgage bankers group. We had a panel of builders and top builders in the region. And the question was asked, are you interested in building condominiums? And every single one said no. And the question was, why? And the answer was litigation.
Right. Yep.
Because every single condo project that gets built is litigated, because right. there are roving packs of attorneys out there who will go out there and convince the homeowners associations to sue the HOA for construct or sue the developer, I mean, for construction defects,
right.
It will happen. And mm-hmm. and many builders are just not willing to take on that expense and, right. and that
yeah,
risk.
It'll happen in that first 4 years.
Yeah, it will, because there's a statute, that,
the
of, limitations.
Statute of limitations. Right.
So even if there's, you know, maybe there's not even anything wrong with them, but they're still going to get sued. And that just happens. So as a consequence, we have probably far fewer condominiums in our region mm-hmm. than maybe our market would support. So what's going on in that realm?
Well, it is good news, and you're right. I mean, really, the condos that have come out of the ground are very high-end, ultra-high-end condos
yep.
in downtown Bellevue and
yeah.
South Lake Union.
Yep.
Great to have them. Happy that they're there, but we need a mid-market product.
Right.
And what's and there's been a lot of work in Olympia for a lot of years. This session, it looks like we're going to get a bill to come out, and that will, I'm not going to go into all the details, but largely that will repeal the strict liability statutory warranty, and it'll enable a developer to cure a defect, so it won't get rid of consumer protections, but mm-hmm. it will give the builder the opportunity to fix it without costly and lengthy litigation. And mm-hmm. we think that will bring builders back to the market, and that will bring insurers back to the market.
Yeah, I was going to get to the point of it's usually the insurance part that's, you know, where
yeah.
they go. Because, like, when the builder gets sued, because when we're selling condos, and Eric knows this too, because we always have to check to find out, is there any pending litigation?
Right.
And if they do have some, or it seems to be, you know, closing up, it's like, okay, well, is there an insurance payout or not?
Because
right. that will make all the difference.
Right.
On whether or not
or how
that.
Many insurance companies or, you know, how much litigation is going on in that realm as well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging. So
right. And so where that goes is if just, you know, your listeners can picture, a lot of people want to have an option to downsize but stay
yes.
in their neighborhood.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
If we could have
yeah.
more condo options close to your neighborhood, close to your friends, but you don't have to deal with the big house you raise the family in. That could be a tremendous win-win.
Yeah. You know, I had that happen with a woman lately. She sold her house in the Skyway area and ended up all the way down in Auburn, away from everyone she knew. So it's a common issue.
Well, when we come back, we've got more with Randy Banneker. Stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba, talking land use and zoning. Stay tuned.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.